About to begin a new sugya. It's a sugya in a sense which begins a whole series of sugyas. If you were a Rishon and you were learning about Metziyat Beis and Aleph, so you inevitably were thinking about this question. The Rishonim spent days, weeks, months, years thinking about this kasha. Every single Rishon under the sun asked this kasha. So not everybody gave the same teretz. I think by the end of these sugyas, we may have six different derutzim to this kasha. We're going to try and analyze each one of them. Okay, we'll try as best as we can. So this may take us through Rosh Hashanah, maybe through Pesach, whatever. It takes us a while to get through these sugyas, but at least let's start with the first of the sugyas. So the question begins on a comment on the Mishnah, the Beis and Aleph. So we already spoke a little bit about the basic halach of Shnai Melchus and Metalis, as to why you say Achlok, when you say Achlok, why do you say Kolom Gvai, Yehemunach, those are the Kolom we spoke about in the previous sugya. Then the Mishnah gives us a little bit of a complicated scenario of Shnai Melchus and Metalis, where rather than each one saying Kula Shali, so one person says Kula Shali, and the other guy says Chetzi Shali. So the Mishnah says, Eimer, Zeme Kula Shali, Vizeme Chetzi Shali. So I'm a kula shli yishavish elim ba'pachas v'shash chalok. I'm a chetz shli yishavish elim ba'pachas mevia. Zeh not v'shash chalok, zeh not l'mevia. So basically, what happens in a zeh me kula shli, which is a good one. Yeah. In a zeh me kula shli, zeh me kula shli. I'm sorry, zeh me kula shli, zeh me chetz shli. So basically, what happens is that we divide up the din Torah. Now, when I only claim that chetz shli, so what I am in effect saying is that the other half, I have no shaykhus thing, right? So I'm already giving up on this half. Okay, that half is already belonging to you. So now the din Torah is only on the second half. So on the second half, it's tantamount to me saying kulushali, and you're saying kulushali, which of course means yachleikum. So we do simple math. So if Reuven walks away with the first half, and now Reuven gets a half of the other half, and Shimon gets a half of the other half, so hakol mikol kol, what does it end up to? Half plus a quarter. Good math, okay, advanced math. So the bottom line, it comes out that Reuven walks away with three-quarters of the talis and Shimon walks away with a quarter of the talis. That's pretty straightforward in the Mishnah, okay? So the premise of the Mishnah is that the half that they're not arguing about, so Dal B'Hocha, that goes 100% to Reuven, and the rest, they split Yechlek, okay? Very, very straightforward. Come to Rishonim and say, we have a big problem, major, major problem. Shimon is advancing, what Taina? Shimon's famous words are, Chetzi Shili. Frank the Rishonim, Shimon should get chetzer. He should get half the talus. Not walk away with a quarter of the talus. He should get the half the talus. You know why? Because Shimon could have just as easily advanced another taina. What other taina could Shimon have advanced which would have given him, in fact, half the talus? If he would have said kulashali. So Shimon had the ability to say kulashali. Let us believe him when he says chetzer, to give him everything that he wants, everything that he's demanding, namely half the talus. Since he had the ability to say kulishali, believe him when he says chetzishali. That's the question that the Rishonim ask. Now, if you never learned and never heard of the word migo, you never learned ksubish, you never learned babasri, you never learned babmatir before, you never heard of the word migo, you would look at this question with Rishonim and think that everybody lost their mind. I mean, what kind of a question is that? Believe me that I could have said X because I could have, believe me when I say X because I could have said Y. What's the problem? But I didn't say Y. Believe me that I could have been the president of the United States, but I'm not the president. I could have been. No convention, sugis. I could have been. I could have, should have, would have, but isn't. So what kind of a strange question is this? The Rishonim was so much, we're going to spend 4 weeks on this sugya, on believe me that I said, that when I say X, because I could have said Y. So the Rishonim, of course, add on and say, well, this is not our question. This is a principle that appears to Achas, so gives him a second Subas in the second parak, so gives him Baba Bas in the third parak, so gives him a second Shavuos. These are sugyas that are called one magic word. What? There we go, Migo. Okay? So this is the halachic principle of Migo. Migo basically means, in a nutshell, without too much elaboration, Migo means I'm advancing a taina. I could have said a different taina. And if I would have said a different taina, the results would have been different. Believe me when I say the time that I am advancing, Migo, I could have advanced a different time. That's basically the principle of Migo. Why it works, how it works, should it work, what's the, all based on, we got a long, 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 long way to go. But the existence of the principle of Migo is an absolute principle throughout Shas, Migo. So, Frekt Vishad Makasha, let's believe Shimon. When Shimon says, Chetziyai, let's believe him to say Chetzio, and he should walk away with half of the talis. Migo, then he could have said, Kulo. That's the question that the Rishonim asked. Okay? Not a bad question. Comes Tosfos in Asugya and presents the question on the Beis and Aleph. Tosfos says, Then Taisa just touches up the question a little bit. So Taisa quotes from the Rivam, the following he said in French, Rivam, the Miga Lahotzi Layamrinan. Four words, that's today's Shia. That's all you need. You can close your Gemara, you can close your Taisa, that's all we need for today. Miga Lahotzi Layamrinan. Says the Rivam, I challenge you, says the Rivam, look to Shas. When do we find the principle of Migo? Migo means when a person is trying to get out of pain. When I come to you and I say, Ru, you owe me $100. So Ru gives some half-baked, wild, wacky taina why he doesn't have to pay the $100. That taina in and of itself is not acceptable. That taina is a very poor response to my claim. Elohat. Ru could have said a better taina, he could have said a different taina that would have exempted him. That's called Migo. Let's give you an example. What's the example? I come to her and I say, Ru, you owe me $100. What could Ru possibly answer? What possibly things are up his sleeve? What could he say? Ru, you owe me $100. Give me a response. Give me a retort.
I really owe you 50.
Yo, that's a bad, I don't want to hear that. That's too complicated, okay? So Ru doesn't want to pay you money, okay? He wants to say, I don't owe you, Rabbi, I don't know who you are, I don't owe you a penny. So I say, Ru, you owe me $100. And Ru says, I don't owe you a penny. So you have to explain, why don't I owe you a penny? So Ru, here, I'm Ru talking. Why don't I owe you a penny? What are some good reasons why I don't owe you a penny?
I paid you already.
Okay, I can come up with an even better one. What? Lahayudvar miyadam. I don't know who you are. I never met you. I never borrowed any money from you. Right? Those are good responses. So if Ru would just come forward with one of those two responses, he would be believed right out. Right? No question about it. What do we call those responses? Api aloha? What are those responses a description of? I say, Ru, you owe me $100. Ru denies the whole story, either because he denies the chiyuv in the beginning, or because he says, paraiti, I paid back. That's what's called kaifer. Hakol. So Kofra Kol is part of the Gamre, okay? We'll talk about that hopefully weeks, months going on. How do we know that? But that's the bit. What if Ru doesn't say that I don't owe you a penny? Or what if Ru doesn't say I paid you back already? Ru tells me a whole story. He says, Rabbi, listen, I borrowed $100 from you and I didn't pay you back. And I really should have to pay you back. But what happened? 6 months ago, your animal ate $100 worth of my tomatoes, and now you really owe me $100, so I'm not paying you back the $100 because of the $100 that you owed me from 6 months ago. Is that a good response? Imagine if Ru would present such a response in Beis Din. I say, Ru, you owe me $100. I lent you $100. Ru says, you're right, Rabbi. I borrowed $100. I never paid you back the $100, but your animal ate my crop 6 months ago. Would that be a good response? If you were sitting on a Din Torah, what would you think about that? That's the most cockamamie cuckoo story I've ever heard in the world. What do you mean? You admit that you borrowed the money, you admit you never paid back the money, and you're telling me another story. Take me to a Din Torah about my animal. I don't even have an animal. You don't have tomatoes. I don't know who you are. What kind of story is that? What kind of mishagas? What kind of mitzvah is that? What kind of a response to a claim is that? So comes the Gemara and says, no, Ru would be believed. You know why Ru would be relieved? Why? Why would Ru be relieved? Because what does he have? A what? He has a Migo. Migo could have said that he paid back the money. Migo could have said he never borrowed the money in the first place. So even though the taina that he's advancing, taina X, is not an acceptable taina, in the world of tainas, taina X is a lousy, horrible, completely irrelevant response. Taina X cannot win on its own merits, but taina X can win, but Migo that he could have said taina Y. That's Migo. That's a classic Migo. Says the Rivam, Bamed Devar Mamura, my challenge you, says the Rivam, learn to Baba Kam, Baba Tzir, Baba Basra, Shavuos, and Hedrin Subas, learn to all of Shas, and you'll notice that every case of Migo that appears in the Gemara is always a Ru talking. It's always a Nitva talking. It's always a person who's trying to exempt himself talking. That's what we find Luchas Migo. We'd never find a Migo that could be used Lahaitzi Mamun. I never find that I could advance a Taina to get money from you. The taina itself is not acceptable. Oh, but except the taina migo that could have advanced a different taina. That's what's called four words. Migo lahaitzi layamrina. I can't give a Rivam. And therefore, says the Rivam, not really I can, but therefore, says the Rivam, since we all know now migo lahaitzi layamrina, there's no precedent for that law of migo lahaitzi, our Gemara is a case of migo lahaitzi. Why is that Gemara migo lahaitzi? Why is that Mishnah migo lahaitzi? No? Two guys walking into Beis Din, I'm holding a talis, you're holding a talis. Each person is what? Who remembers from previous shiurim? You only had two shiurim, so what is here? What? Each one's like a mupsuk, each one's like an owner, each one's like partially owner. You want to use the principle of Migo to take away from somebody something that belongs to them? That's a violation of this age-old principle that's been established for the last 30 seconds called Migo Lahaitzi Layam Rina. Atan Devi Harivam. So that's how the Rivam learned that sugya. Migo Lahaitzi Layam Rina, Agamar is an application of Migo Lahaitzi, and Shalom HaYisrael. I can't do very well. The base I told you before, that there are five other terutzim, at least that we know of in the Rishonim, to this kasha of what happened to Migo. Why is there no Migo here? Every other Rishon who went down a different route, Rabbi Natam had a different answer. We'll get to that hopefully in and of itself. The Sarmi Kutsi had a different answer. We'll talk about that hopefully. The Ran had another answer. And the Rabbana, every Rishon under the sun has another answer to this question. What does that lead us to believe from the fact that other Rishonim are searching for other answers? Other Rishonim are giving other Yisaitis, other Shirim, other Klolim as to why Migo fails in Asugya. It would lead us to believe that the other Rishonim disagree with the Rivam's answer. Right? The question is, why do the other Rishonim disagree with the Rivam? The Rivam sounded so great, so glatt, so beautiful. Migo lifter amridan, Migo haitzi le amridan. So one can understand the Nekuda Semechleikis between the Rivam who was advancing this Mahalach, in contrast to the other Rishonim who by default, from the fact that they're not advancing it, from the fact that the other Rishonim are searching in other areas for other Terutzim, that they don't buy into the Rivam, they could disagree with the Rivam in one of two Nekudas. There are really two premises behind the Shittas of Rivam. The Rivam is making two assumptions before his Terutz to be correct. What are the two assumptions? That Miga Lahaitzi Why am I not? And what other premise is the Rivam working with? That this is called Migal Haitzi. That Shnai Moichazin equals a Migal Haitzi. Now, is that true? Is Shnai Moichazin a Migal Haitzi? It's not a classic Migal Haitzi. Classic Migal Haitzi means when I'm the clear Motzi, you're the clear Muchsok, it's clear as day, that's called the Migal Haitzi. Shnai Moichazin Metalis, if we learned anything from the last 2 days of Shiur, is that, what did we learn? That it's very unclear as to whether the regular principles of Muchsuk even make any sense in the context of Shnai Moichazin Betalis. Now, true, we had Rabbi Natam, who's trying to sell us this theory the last 2 days of Shiur, that Shnai Moichazin Betalis is a Muchsuk. And according to Rabbi Natam, that's why we can't say Kol Dilam Gevar, because it's a Muchsuk, a Muchsuk, a Muchsuk. But Rabbi Isai, if we saw other Rishonim, we saw a Riva, who wasn't so convinced that Shnai Moichazin Betalis is really Muchsuk altogether, because it's a really funny kind of a Muchsuk. Usually Muchsuk means Ru's holding, he's got cash in his pocket, and I'm trying to get that money from him, so I'm the Maiti, he's the Muchsuk. Shnai Moichazin Betalis, you have multiple people holding on, so you can argue that Shnai Moichazin Betalis maybe is like a Muchsuk, or maybe you can argue Shnai Moichazin Betalis is what? It's like no Muchsuk at all. So we're not even sure that the Shnai Moichazin Betalis is the equivalent of a Migal Haitzi. So the Rivam is making two assumptions for us. The Rivam is saying that, yeah, Migal Haitzi Lamrina, and that I'm telling you that's Emes Lamitai. And number two, Shnai Moichazin is the equivalent of Migal Haitzi. The Rishonim who disagree with the Rivam could be disagreeing with one or both of the Nekudas of the Rivam. So we have documented in the Rishonim Beferish. We have some Rishonim who say that the Rivam is not correct because Migal Haitzi Kein Amrina. Who says that Beferish? Anyone saw? So there's Rabbeinu Peretz, right? The Shimon Kubetz has quotes from Rabbeinu Peretz, who says, Yesh Oimrim, that the Rivam is not correct because Migal Haitzi Kein Amrinan. It means the Rabbeinu Peretz is quoting Rishonim, who are disagreeing with this klolius, this global statement of the Rivam. This didn't klolio the Rivam called Migal Haitzi L'Amrinan. Well, Migal Haitzi Kein Amrinan. And then you have other Rishonim who are taking issue with the Rivam on a much more limited scope. The Shimon Kubetz has quotes from other Rishonim, quotes from Gilin HaTaisus, other Pshatim, other Taisus that we don't have, who were veered away from the Rivam's pshat, not because they disagreed with the din klali called Migal Haitzi Le'amrinan. Now the Rivam is right in terms of Bava Basak, Subas, Sanhedrin, Bava Metzia, he's right, but he's wrong in terms of Shnai Moichazin Betalis, that his application of calling this a Migal Haitzi is thrown into question. So Rabbi Isai, we have a tremendous chiddush of the Rivam. I mean, anyone saw this Rivam had to realize right away the Rivam is making two tremendous assumptions. One is what we call, just to get our lingo correct, we can get rid of some of this other lingo here because we're not at the goon squads and hung jury then. We should ask something out here. But according to the Rivam, he's making two statements. Migal Haitzi L'Amrinan is what we call a din klali, because this is something that's going to take us through Bava Kam, Bava Tzir, Bava Asik, Subas, Sanhedrin, Shavuos. This is a really, really global statement. And then you have a second half of the Rivam, that Shnai Moichazin is a Migal Haitzi. That's a much more of a Din Prati. That's a very, very limited, only interests people who are learning Bava Tzir, Dav Beis, and Aleph. So when we see that Rishonim disagree with the Rivam, we have to really be careful. This is just a style. When you learn Rishonim, so you see his machlokes of Rishonim. The Rivam gave one pshat, other Rishonim gave another pshat, so we see a machlokes is developing. So you have to try to zero in, try to hone in on what is the Nekudas of machlokes. What point are they arguing about? Are they arguing it as a klolistic statement? Are they arguing a pratiistic statement? So Rabbi Yisrael, for our purposes, since we spent a lot of time learning about what the Shnayim Arachis is a mukhsuk or not, that was the first 2 days of Shia, we're going to spend the bulk of this sugya focusing on this. We're going to assume that the Rivan had this tremendous chiddush called Migel Haitzel Emrinan, and other Rishonim don't accept it. The Rishonim who looked for other answers didn't buy into Migel Haitzel Emrinan. They held it's not true. Migel Haitzel Kein Emrinan. We're going to give Rabbeinu Peretz the benefit of the doubt, and we're going to assume that we have in front of us a Machlekes Rishonim. You want to call it Machlekes the Rivan and Rabbeinu Peretz, you want to call it a Ramban, you want to call it Shittim, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. But I want you to know that there is a Machlekes Rishonim on the page developing in front of our very eyes where the Migel Haitzel Kein Emrinan, Migel Haitzel Lam. So what do we do with this information? Now that we just discovered or we just made up this Machlekes. Sometimes we discover things, sometimes we make things up. Even those things I tell you that we discover, half the time we make it up anyway. Rabbi Isai, what do you have to do now? So we have a Machlekes Rishonim on the page with the Migel Haitzel Emrinan and Lam Emrinan. According to Rivan, that's the aside of our Mishnah. According to Rabbeinu Peretz, the din isn't true. What do you got to do now? What do you got to do? Where's the first thing you got to do? You have to look through where? Shas. That's the next thing you got to do, right? So you have Machlekes Rishonim, so you have to ask yourselves, does the Gemara have anything to say about this topic? Are there any sugyas in the Gemara that are pertinent? You're going to build the whole case on a diyah from Beis and Avma Metzia. That's a tough thing to do. So you want to know what else the Chazal have to say about it. So you got to go press a button in your head and try to figure out where else the Chazal talk about these topics. So you start thinking, Tafyomi. I haven't seen anything in the last 3 weeks in Tafyomi about this. You go through Shabbos, Erev, and Pesachim, Shkolem, what do you think Yerushalmi is part of the Bavli? Whatever it is, Rosh Hashanah, Yom, Masukha, I don't know, I'm not getting anywhere. You move into Yavamas. Hey, Yavamas, that was fun last year. You start thinking about Zika, you get these warm feelings about last year, you know, say, but you realize that has nothing to do with anything. And then you keep on moving and moving and moving, and Shas continues, you're halfway through the next Tafyomi cycle, you're ready to buy your tickets for the CM on the moon, or whatever it is, yeah, you're all ready to roll. Okay, the next biggest arena. And then finally, all of a sudden, you stop, your spaceship stops to a dead halt, and you bump into the Sugya Cheskes Abathim. And you remember, oh, you were in Rabbi Zelowski Shia 3 years ago, Cheskes Abathim, we had so much fun. And all of a sudden, you bring back these very, very, very fond memories, or depending on how well you did in the Bechina, other memories, of a Sugya that appears in the third paragraph of Basra that may very well be the Sugya in Shas that discusses the topic of Migel Haitzel. According to some Rishonim, it is the Sugya in Shas. According to the other Rishonim, it is the Sugya not in Shas. It's a Sugya that doesn't have anything to do about the topic. We have to learn the sugya first. You have to really learn the sugya carefully in the third backup of the Vasa to understand, does the Gemara say anything about this? So we have our goal set up for us. We have to look to Shas and see what sugyas of any bear any relevance to this topic. What else do we have to do? After we figure all that out, right? This is a learning project, 101, teaching everyone how to learn. Okay, that's the goal today. Try to figure out how to learn to a sugya. So we go through all Shas, we figured out, we've identified the correct sugyas. We're going to show you that Machlekes Rishonim, how to read the Gemara. You all know where I'm going. Now what do you do? So we have Machlekes Rishonim. So we're going to show you that the Gemara of Avash is not convincing one way or the other. You know where I'm going to do already. So then what do you have to ask yourself? You have to ask yourself, so why? Why should Migel Haitzel Emrinan? Why should Migel Haitzel Emrinan? Logically. Forget about Gemara. Forget about Raya's from the Gemara. Why should there be such a din? Conceptually, what should the din be? So you have to, in order to understand the Rivan and Rabbeinu Peretz, you have to understand textually, you have to understand how the Gemaras fit into the topic. Is there a Gemara that sheds light on this topic or not? And then you have to also ask yourself, well, why should it be? If I would just wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, Migel Haitzel, can I mean alarm, what would you say? So the answer is, you may not have enough to say about the topic, because you probably don't know enough about one word. What's the one word? Migel. So we have our work cut out for us to try to figure out, do you say Migel Haitzel? Do you not? What do Chazal have to say about it? What do Sugyas have to say about it? Why should it be so? Which is going to lead us to hopefully a much better understanding of one of the most difficult, confusing halachic topics called Migel. So we got to work it out. So let's begin. Let's begin in the realm of Bava Basra, the third pair. So come to Moshe. If you want to be one of the cases, you have to apply for the job of shiur assistant, okay? Or be a father of a shiur assistant. That's the only way you get into one of the cases. Or if I like you very much. Okay, so come to... Or if I know your name. So comes Moshe. Assuming you're a shiur assistant, that's one of the requirements to be a shiur assistant. I have to know you. Okay, so I come to Moshe. I say, Moshe, that land that you're living on, that house... that you're living on? That house is my house. I'll prove to you it's my house. For the last 100 years, everybody knows it's been the Sobolowski family. I got it in my house, it was my father's house, my grandfather, great-grand, from David Davis. We've been living in this house. What did I just present? What's that called? Halacha? Who knows? Who learned Babas with us? What's called Cheskes Marakama. Okay? So I have a Cheskes Marakama. There's only one thing, I'm sorry, there's only two things that Moshe could do to possibly win that house. The fact that Moshe is sitting on the house, he's a muchsuk, kamotz michla varaya. What's the answer? That is totally, completely meaningless. Because the principle of muchsuk doesn't apply in karka, because you're not never muchsuk in karka. I'm muchsuk on this mark, or I'm muchsuk on my shirt, or muchsuk on my tie, but I'm not muchsuk on karka. I am sitting on karka, but I'm not being machzik karka. So the fact that Moshe is living in the house, that's irrelevant. There's only one of two things that could win the din Torah for him. One is what's called Cheskes Gimel Shanim. If he happened to have been living there for 3 years, so that's a whole world in of itself. Not for now, that's Cheskes Tevatim. Another time, another place. But we're not interested in that right now. We're interested in the second option that Moshe could have. Moshe could present a what? A shtar. If Moshe has a shtar that says Rabbi Sobolowski sold him the land, signed, sealed, and delivered. The Edom are there. Everything wonderful. Then, of course, he wins the din Torah. That was the opening day of Cheskes Tevatim. So I come to Moshe and say, I have a Cheskes Marakama. I've been living on this field for the last 20 years. I'm sorry, I've owned this field for the last 20 generations. Moshe says, but I have a shtar. So it's over, we're finished. Moshe wins the din Torah. There's no question about it. What's my response? Moshe yanks out the shtar. The Beis Din is looking at the shtar, and I go livid. I go nuts. What do I say? It's a mizuyif. It's a forgery, the shtar. Forgery was a very, very easy way to disprove that claim. Normally, the halacha says, I have a right to declare that a shtar is a forgery. Baal Din has the right to advance that taina. The Raisa, the Rabbanan, getting the base, getting another time, another place. So, Min HaTorah, you can't claim a Zuyaf, but the Rabbanan, you can't claim a Zuyaf, okay? I talked to Meryachav about that. He's living getting the base now. See if he has anything exciting to come home about with today. So, Rabbi say, I claim the shtar is Mizuyaf. Okay? But the reality is, it's not Mizuyaf. Okay, the reality is it seems not to be mezuyif. Beis Din's looking at it. They have Edim who are mekayim the shtar. They're verifying their signatures. We have other documents at hand which seem to match up with the signatures. So we did what's called kiyum shtaros. Kiyum shtaros means now the shtar is good. So I have everything going for me. So I have the shtar. I'm about to knock Moshe out of the box. I'm about to take, well, the other way around, I'm sorry. Moshe's about to what happened? Knock me out of the box, right? He's got a shtar. It's gevaldik, it's maridik. But Moshe's an honest guy, it's Chedesh El, it's almost Rosh Hashanah. So Moshe whispers to one of the Dayanim, what does he whisper? In Shtar is Eifu, it's a mezuyif. I forged the Shtar. The Shtar is not true. But, so Moshe, I did have a real Shtar. What happened to the real Shtar? The cat ate the real Shtar. I got lost. The kids threw it out and they go, I don't know where it is. I can't find the real Shtar. So I figured, I know I had a real Shtar, so I'm really telling you the truth. I really am the rightful owner of this field. But I don't have a shtar to prove it, so I got my friend to counterfeit a shtar for me. We forged the signature so well, the Edom themselves couldn't figure out there was a forgery. And just don't tell anybody, but I'm telling you the Emes says that I had a real shtar one time. You're sitting on the din Torah, what do you say? What do you think about Moshe's taina? So comes Rabba and says, Moshe is a classic Migo. What's his Migo? What? He could have said no. He could have said, this is a good shtar. Moshe had two possibilities over here. Moshe's got everything going for him by presenting the shtar. The shtar is Edom on it, the shtar is Makuyam. So Moshe could have said Taina X. Taina X could have been, but Taina 1 could have been. What? He could have said, it's a shtar kosher. He says no. He says it's a shtar that's Mezuyav, but Hoyali shtar kosher. So he picks the cuckoo Taina to say. So in and of itself, he shouldn't be believed. But let's believe in B'miga that he could have said that it's a shtar kosher. That's exactly what Rabba says. Rabba says, that's right, that he's believed because he has a migo. And comes Rav Yosef and says, Chas v'shalom, that's not a good migo. And Rav Yosef never explains himself what's wrong with the migo. Ad kan, the first case in the Gemara. Okay? Then the Gemara tells, believe it or not, the same exact case happened, second time around, with one little slight nuance. Instead of the case involving a din Torah about karka, it involved a din Torah about a hovah, about borrowing money. So I come to Nachi, I say, Nachi, you owe me, not even a shoe assistant, okay? I come and I say, Nachi, you owe me hockey sticks, okay, we'll leave that guy. You owe me, summer joke, you owe me $100. All right? You owe me $100. And how am I going to prove that you owe me $100? I have a shtar that says, Nachi Cooper owes me $100. What does Nachi say? You ganav, you shakran. It's a shtar mezuyah. It's a forgery. So I whisper to the dayan, I say, shh, you're right. This particular shtar is a mezuyah. Right? I did a good job forging it. Even you guys couldn't tell. But I'm not a dishonest person. I'm just a counterfeiter. I'm not a ganav. Because he really does owe me $100. I just can't find the original shtar. So I figured I'll write up this fake shtar and I'll use this fake shtar to collect. Migo, right? Believe me, Migo, I could have said it's a shtar kosher. So the same exact story, right? I'm saying it's a shtar mezuyah. Highly shtar kosher. That tie in and of itself is not really a good tie. And believe me that I could have just stuck to the original story and say that it's a shtar kosher. So the same exact machlokes. Rava said, Migo. Migo works. And Rav Yosef says, Migo chas v'shalom. Migo does not Migo. Atkan divya gemara v'basra. What's going on? What's the nekudas machlokes in Rav and Rav Yosef? Why did Rava think that these two cases are a good Migo? And why did Rav Yosef think these cases are not a good Migo? So comes Taisim Babasra and quotes the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Rabbi Mordechai, not the Rivam. Happened to be the Rivam, but not the Rivam, a different Rivam. Comes Rabbeinu Yitzchak Rabbi Mordechai, comes to Taisim Babasra and says, what's the Nakudas Machlaiks in Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? What's the Machlaiks? What are they fighting about? What's good about this Migo? What's bad about this Migo? Why would somebody accept this Migo? Why would somebody reject this Migo? Says Taisis, according to Rab, what is this Migo? This is a classic Migo, huh? This is a Migo, huh? I want to get something away from you. I want to get the land away from the who? From the Cheskes Merkabah. Moshe wants to get the land away from me. I want to get the money away from Nachi. That's called a Migo Lahotzi. I'm using the principle of Migo to get something away from somebody. I'm not using Migo Lahotzi to exempt myself. I'm not using Migo Lahotzi to tell me I don't have to pay. I'm using Migo to get something Lahotzi, to take something away from you. Either Moshe's taking the land away from me, or I'm taking the money away from Nachi. That's a migo lahotzi. So Kump Taisim Baba Basra says that's the issue in the sugya. That is Baba Basra Daf Lamed Beis. Rabba's opinion is this is an acceptable migo because Rabba holds migo lahotzi kainam rinon, and Rav Yosef says it's not an acceptable migo because migo lahotzi layam rinon. Ad kan tivya Taisim Baba Basra. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yisai, we have discovered America. We have discovered the Gemara that we're looking for. We started out in Bamatziah Daf Beis. We're searching in the dark. The Suma Baruba. The Rivam tells us Migel Hotzi Larmina. That's the only way to explain away our Mishnah. The other Rishonim say, "Tell me another one." I have five other ways to explain away our Mishnah. Other Rishonim saying, Rabbeinu Peretz is saying Migel Hotzi Kainam Rina. So we have this Machlekes on Bamatziah Daf Beis. We don't know where to go with it. We have no Rai, is nothing. So we flip forward to Baba Basra and we see It's not just the machlokes of Rishonim, it's the machlokes of Amoraim. That's goof for the Nekudas of machlokes. Rav and Rav Yosef, if we went back in time 1,000 years to the goof for the Amoraim, that's goof what they're arguing about. That's how Tosafos Baba Basra sizes up the Gemara in Cheskes about them. Where the Migel Hotzi can amin, Migel Hotzi lo amin. Assuming that is correct, if Tosafos Baba Basra is correct in their analysis, that is the Nekudas of machlokes in Rav and Rav Yosef, then we have to ask ourselves a further question. What's the further question? Well, it's very nice we have a Gemara that talks about a topic, but we want to know what? Well, the Mishnah Babetzia is not a riot to anything because there are five other answers to the Mishnah Babetzia. So very nice. You have Machlekes Rav and Rav Yosef. Beautiful, wonderful. And now what? What? Before we get to the wise. What's the law? How do we paskin? So you dug up a Gemara. We learn Alibi Dehilchasa at our yeshiva, right? We're one of those shirim that Alibi Dehilchasa shirim, aren't we? I don't think we are. Are we on the list? I'm not sure. So we have a Gemara. Remember, Rabbi Basra, Machlekes Rav and Rav Yosef. So it's very nice to give his Hazal Lomdis and a pupil, Rabba Hot Kazach Tazayin, Rav Yosef Kazach Tazayin. But Tachlis, how do we pass in the halacha? So Baruch Hashem, we have the good fortune of having the end of the Gemara in Rabbi Basra, where the Gemara says Hilchasa, the Gemara gives us a psak. So that psak should be clear as day. That psak, according to Taisim Rabbi Basra, we're waiting with Mamash, we can't wait. We're holding our breath, waiting to see what is the final answer to this question. We've been waiting for days and weeks and months and years. Since we live in Vassar, do we say Migel Hotzi? Yes, I'm Rinan, I'm Rinan. Come on, where's the anticipation? Where's the excitement? I don't see anybody with bated breath here. I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody awake here. Who's awake? Ashi, come on. You got this is exciting. Come on. I know you got married recently, but this is just as exciting. Come on. We want to know what's the answer. Is Migel Hotzi Kainam Rinan, I'm Rinan? Come on. So comes the Gemara and says, Hilchasa? Do we follow Rabba? Do we follow Rav Yosef? What's the answer? What does he want to say? My goodness gracious. Hilchasa Karabah Bilat, Biara Uch Rav Yosi Bezuzei. That we thought these two cases are mamish the same. We have two beautiful cases on the board. We thought they're the exact same. Eh, one was land, one was money. What's the difference? It's all the same. Is Miguel Hitzi Kena Mina Miguel Hitzi Layam Rinan? And comes the Gemara with the most confusing of Pesachim. It comes the Gemara and says that it depends. In the case of Karka, what's the din? Does the Migo work in the case of Karka? The Migo is great, okay? It's an excellent Migo in the case of Karka. In the case of Zuze, in the case of the money, so the Migo is disaster. The Migo loses. So very good. So now we're taking Tosis' words in Baba Basra that the root of the issue was Migo Lahotzi, and now I rephrase the question. So do we paskin Migo Lahotzi kenam minin or lower minin? Somebody answer that question, please. What is the pen? What do you mean the pen? So tell me, what do the words mean? Karaka we do, Zuzi we don't. What kind of mishigas is that? That doesn't make any sense. What is the Gemara telling us? If that's the way you learn the sugi, if the thrust of the sugi is Migel Hotzi, Kenamin, Alorminan, what the Gemara's answer is what? Is it a suffix? What's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is obvious. That the Gemara's answer is that these two cases are not the same in terms of being called Lahotzi. In the case of Zuze, it's called the Migel Hotzi. In the case of Karka, it's not called the Migel Hotzi. That's the only way to read the Gemara with any sense. So the Gemara is taking a stand on the issue. The Gemara is saying that the emes lamito is that migai lahotzi loyamrinan. This is what we're exciting. This is what we want to hear. Migai lahotzi loyamrinan. But whereas at first the Gemara maybe thought, or maybe Rav Yosef thought, that the case of Karaka is called lahotzi, that we don't accept. We say Migel Hotzi Leam Rinan, but we have to be careful what we're calling Lahotzi. Remember? Just as like in Shnayim Ochtim Metalos, we weren't sure we even had a Lahotzi case on our hands. So what the Gemara is now telling us is a tremendous Chiddush. We first started off the Sugi, the first 20 lines of the Sugi was assuming that both of these cases are equal in terms of being Migel Hotzi. You just have to decide whether Migel Hotzi can or mean Leam Rinan. Now the Gemara is taking a bound face and saying, the Emes is Migel Hotzi Leam Rinan, but the two cases part ways because this is not called a Lahotzi. And this is called the Lahotzi. So I ask you, Rabbi, I say, why is that? How do you make any sense out of that? Why is it that in the case of me and Nachi, that's called the Migel Lahotzi? The case of me and Moshe, it's not called the Migel Lahotzi. What's the answer, Rabbi? I say, what is the difference between Nachi's holding on to the cash, and I forget, it doesn't matter who's holding on, and Moshe's holding on to the land, or Moshe's claim to the land? In one case, what's Amigo trying to do? In the case of the Zuzi, what's Amigo going against? It's Amigo clashing against the what? Against the what? Against the Muchsuk. Right? Because after all, Nachi has cash in his pocket. He's got the dollars and cents in his pocket. I'm trying to use Amigo, tell you a nice story. Believe me that the shtar is a kosher, it's a shtar mezuyah for highly shtar kosher, but Migo, I could have said it's a shtar kosher. And I want to use that argument to get cash out of Nachi's pocket. That's called the Migo Lahotzi. In the case of me and Moshe, what are we using Migo for? We're using Migo to let me keep the land, to get the land out of a what? Out of a who? Out of a cheskes marakama. Remember, we started out the case by saying there's no such thing as muchsuk. On land. The concept of muhsuk doesn't exist by land. The only claim that a person has to land at best is what's called the cheskes marakama. It's mine because my father owned it. It's mine because my grandfather, 100,000 years ago, they owned it. That's called the cheskes marakama. What the Gemara is in effect telling us is that migel hotzi le'amrinan, but this is not a muhsuk. When it's a muhsuk, then it's called lahotzi. Lahotzi is when there's a muhsuk. When all there is a cheskes marakama, that's not called a migel hotzi. That is what we have to walk away with from Baba Basra on Daf Lamed Beis. So when you learn Baba Basra Lamed Beis, assuming Tosis is right, this is all giving Tosis and Baba Basra the benefit of the doubt that they're right, that the issue involved is a migel hotzi issue. If you hold like other Rishonim, that's not even the issue in the sugya, then we're wasting our time. But assuming Tosis and Baba Basra is right, that the issue, the core issue of Baba Basra Lamed Beis is a migel hotzi issue, then the maskonas hagemar Baba Basra is migel hotzi lo yamrinon. But that's true, lahotzi me muchsa. But lahotzi me marakama, That's not called the Migel Haitzi. Right? Who saw that in the Gemara? Everyone read that? Everyone understood that? Who here read Rabbi Bas Lama Beis? Everyone saw Rabbi Bas? Okay. When you read Rabbi Bas Lama Beis, if I would ask you, I want you to tell me in two lines, what is the maskana of Rabbi Bas Lama Beis? The correct answer should be that Migel Haitzi Lo Arminon against a Muxuk, against the Marakama, that's not called the Migel Haitzi. Who here would have formulated that before Shia? Everybody, right? No Moshe. Right, room. That's it. Right, that is the formula. That's the only thing you have to walk away with. Forget. Some people read Baba Basra, and they get so bogged down in all the details. The guy's whispering. Wow, so exciting! There's such a, a case going on. He's whispering about a star, and there's a forgery. Those are details. Those are irrelevant. Those are just that's the lavush of the sugya. We want to get to the panemius of the sugya. We want to get to the real kishkas of the sugya. The kishkas of the sugya. The real ikar of the sugya. These nekudos, these halachic principles, the migel lahaitzi la'amrinon, but what's called lahaitzi? Lahaitzi is against the muhsak. Lahaitzi against the merakam is nishkein lahaitzi. That's what you have to walk away with the Baba Basra. Yeah.
Why is the migel
So far, I just showed you what. Okay? I have to show you what's the next question. In our Shia, we learn what first. What's after what? Then we ask why. Okay? So now you can ask your question. We're about to ask why. You're asking the perfect question. So Rabbi Zai, now that we just realized that is what the Gemara is telling us, with all these cuckoo crazy stainas, which Tamazius and Gach and Velochish and Alala Maises. What we just created over here was the following inequality on the board. What is that inequality? Muxok does not equal Cheskes Marakam. Right? That is the principle. Okay? Like the Hav of Dolos. Einstein sits in the lab for years and years and years and years and years and thinks and thinks and thinks, and he finally comes up with one line which sums up everything of the last 10 years of his research equals MC squared. So this is our equals MC squared. It's the E does not equal MC squared. Muxuk does not equal Cheses Merkava. That's the only thing you have to walk away from Basa Daf Lamed Beis. The proof of the pudding is Migo. Migo works here, doesn't work here, because of this inequality on the board. Why aren't the two the same? Well, the answer should be obvious why the two are not the same. Muxuk, I'm holding on to it. Merkava ain't holding on to it. If that's the case, so what should be the next question? If Muxuk doesn't equal Marakam, Marakam doesn't equal Muxuk, what should be your next thing that should be bothering you? Hey, wait a second. What should be the next question, logically, to train guys to think properly? If Cheskes Marakam is not based on Muxuk, what is it? Where did it come from? Why is it true? I understand if I'm holding this shirt, I'm wearing the tie, I'm holding on to my Gemara, I'm Muxuk, I'm Mutzach Vela Varaya, I understand Bava Basu, Bava Kamadaf Memvav, it's a Pusik, it's a Svar, I understand Muxuk, Mutzach Vela Varaya, that I'm all for. But if you're going to tell me that Cheses Marakam is not Muxuk, so what is it? If it ain't Muxuk, what is it? No, where am I going, guys? Let's see, guys from the previous year, where am I walking to? But remember, we say today, the walls can tell the story, right? Who's been in the Shia long enough to know that corner is going to tell us the story? What? Chulin Daf Yud. There you go. Man's been in the Shia long enough. Okay? Comes the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud and has one question. The Gemara says, how do you know you follow the status quo in Halacha? How do you know you follow the Chazocha? Just because something used to be true, just because the woman used to be a surah, she's still a surah when you have a suffix, just because the mikveh used to be kosher, it's still kosher, just because the animal used to be also, it's still... How do you know there's a principle following chazakha? As I always ask the same question all the time. Anyone here put on tefillin today? Nobody? It's 2 o'clock, guys. Everyone here put on tefillin? Yeah, okay, good. Who here checked that tefillin this morning? Who opened the parshas to make sure they're kosher? The guys are not from anything. You didn't open your tefillin today? How do you know they're kosher? What's the answer? They were kosher yesterday. Okay, how do you know they were kosher yesterday? because they were kosher the day before. So 6 years ago, some sofer told you that the tefillin are kosher. So maybe something's changed in the last 6 years. How do you know? So what's the answer? The Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud says, you follow chazaka. There's a din deraisa that if the status quo used to be X, it remains X until proven otherwise. That's the principle called chazaka. The Gemara asks, how do you know there's a principle called chazaka? Our famous wall. The wall is what's called Bayis HaMenuga. You have a little nega on the wall, and Cohen takes a look at it and says, oh my goodness gracious, that looks like it's just the right amount to become Tameh. I'm about to declare Tameh. And what does the Torah Kadesh say? He's not allowed to say Tameh when he's in the house. Why? Because that would be silly. That would make everybody Tameh, including himself. So what does he do first? He takes everything out of the house. He goes outside, and then what does he do? Then he says Tameh. Frektig Markasha. Well, he's Skyping at the same moment. He knows the nega hasn't changed. How does he know? Maybe the nega got smaller in the last 10 seconds. How does he know? If it's not a certain shear, it's not tummy. How does he know? So the answer is he's relying on the chazaka mekara. Zatman Fandol, you see from there, you rely on chazaka mekara. That's the din deraisa of chazaka mekara. The status quo remains until proven otherwise. This wall permits us to wear tefillin without checking at tefillin. This wall permits us to assume the mikvah is kosher. This wall assumes the woman has a chesk seshesh. This wall teaches us the din behem bechayev bechesk seshesh. All of halachas of chazaka mekara, half of sefer sheish maitza, is based on that wall. Comes the Sheikh Shmaitz and says, and there's another thing that's based on that wall. You know what it is? Cheskes Marakama. Cheskes Marakama is not rooted in Dini Mamunis, says the Sheikh Shmaitz. As much as we love Dini Mamunis, Cheskes Marakama and Karka has nothing to do with Dini Mamunis. Dini Mamunis means when you're muksa. The concept of Motz Bechil Avaraya means when I'm wearing a shirt, I'm the muksa. I have money in my pocket, I'm the muksa. I have a safe in my hand, I'm the muksa. I'm sitting on land, or my parents sat on the land, or my grandfather owned the land for the last 500 years, my family's owned the land, and I'm still retaining ownership of that land. That is not rooted in Hilchos Muksuk, that is rooted in Hilchos Chazaka Mekar. It's the same as Hilchos Shchita, Mikvos, Nida, Tefillin, etc. It's nothing to do with Dini Mamunis. Cheskes Markama is not Muksuk. It's Chazaka Mekara, and it works with the rules of Issa V'Heter. As such, Zok Tashay Shmaitza, if it's not Mamunis, if it's not Muksuk, then what are we free to say? We can use Migo to attack it. We cannot use Migo to attack Muksuk. We can use Migo to attack Cheskes Markama. We have more to say about this topic, but we're going to put it on hold. So Rabbi Sai, getting back to our story again, we're learning about Mitzia Dav Beis. We're not learning Migos right now. We're not learning Muksuk. We're not learning about walls right now. We're just learning Beis and Menachem. So we're trying to keep ourselves focused a little bit, okay? So we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, when you have a split, one guy says Kulishali, one guy says Chetzishali. So the halacha says one guy gets three quarters, one guy gets a quarter. So the Rivam asked the question, let him be believed to keep the whole half because of Migo. So the Rivam, Migo Haitzi L'Amrinan. So we said, is that true? Migo Haitzi L'Amrinan? Let's look at Baba Basra. So we came up with this whole Gavaldika Sugya in Baba Basra, where we already have a precedent from Taisan Baba Basra that that's the root of the Sugya. And the Psak of the Gemara is clear that Migo Haitzi L'Amrinan. So we're home free. So the Rivam should be the happiest person around. He'll be jumping for joy, the Rivam. Because we found the Gemara Baba Basra that supports this theory. Right? Do we expect a peep from the Rivam? Do we expect any words of protest from the Rivam? If I was the Rivam, I would just, leave well enough alone. I have a Gemara Baba Basra, Migil Haitzi L'Arminan. I'm willing to call this a Migil Haitzi. Everyone's okay. Everyone's fine. What does the Rivam say? What does the Rivam himself say? Comes the Rivam is not willing to leave well enough alone. Comes the Rivam and says, I'm going to outdo what you just said, Rabbi Sobolowski. I'm going to show you that you think that my shtickl Torah is totally on a machlek is Rabbi and Rav Yosef, even though we pasken Migel Haitzel Amrina. You want me to be Meshuba to a Sugim of Basel Lachlam Abbeis? No, it's up to Rivam. My pshat is independent standing. Says the Rivam, everybody under the sun agrees to me. Every day in the Gemara says Migel Haitzel Lamrina. That's a klal godel. You say this Migel Haitzel Amrina. It sounds in Baba Basra that Rabbah disagrees. Oh, I'm good even according to Rabbah. Unlike my colleagues in Baba Basra, the other Rivam, the Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Mordechai, who claimed that that was the Makuda Samachleikas, that was the Machleikas Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Zok the Rivam, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Meir, whoever it was, comes Zok the Rivam over here, that it's not true. Zok the Rivam, the issue of Migel HaHotzi was not even being debated in Bava Basra. That's not the sugya. You got the wrong sugya. That's not what's going on in Bava Basra. Everybody says Migdal Hotzei La'amrina. So what is really going on in Bava Basra Daf Lamed Beis? So says Rivam, let me tell you what's going on in Bava Basra Daf Lamed Beis. Bava Basra Lamed Beis, what were the two claims the guy had? Again, it's Taina A and Taina B. Okay? So what is he tining? He's tining a cuckoo story, right? That it's a shtar mezuyof, but shtar kosher hoyli. Sakosha Hoyali Venevad. That's his claim, okay? That's what he's writing up his story in Bezdin. Believe him to say that, Migla could have said, this is a Shtar Makoyim. Okay? So it sounds like a classic Migla, right? Believe me to say A, even though A is really a cuckoo story. A is like as cuckoo as Ru's story about my animal eating his tomatoes 6 months ago. A is not really a good time. Believe me to say A, Migla could have said B. Is that a classic Migla? What is that called, Zakhtar Rivam? Who saw the Rivam inside? What's that called? Says the Rivam on Beis and Aleph, with a little dot, Rabbi Kivega dot. Hosamayin l'tayma, v'shum de'afilu hayashosik, rak shlo yemeide shu mezuyef hayanemon. Kechasima hoysa, nikeres la'im dimsham. What did the Rivam just say? I come to a din Torah with you. And I show my shtar to Beis Din. And the shtar is Makuyim. The Edim, everything looks signed, sealed, and delivered. The Edim signatures have been recognized already. It's a shtar Makuyim. It's a hunky dory. It's great. It's a wonder. There's nothing wrong with the shtar. And you say to me, Ruth says to me, no, it's Mezuyev. What's my next line? What's my next line, Rabbi said, I win the Din Torah. I just presented a shtar Mezuyev in Beis Din. I'm sorry. I just said a shtar Makuyim in Beis Din. And Ru screams, it's Mezuyev. It's Makuyim. It's a Shtar Makuyim. Standing in front of the day on him. It's got signed, sealed, and delivered. The Edom have already recognized the signatures on it. And Ru's still screaming, Mezuyev. What's my next words out of my mouth in Beis Din? Well, I stick my tongue out of the room and I say, I don't have to talk to you. What have to talk to you? I don't have to respond to you. You told me 2 weeks ago to come. When the Din Torah started, you tied in Mezuyev. So I brought you a Shtar Makuyim. I'm going to finish. I have to respond now. Not this one. Rabbi Yisai, when the halacha doesn't require of me to respond, and I choose to respond, that's not amigo exactly. That's a very, very fancy kind of amigo. That's what the Rishonim coined the new phrase called amigo the what? Amigo the Iboy Shosik. Believe me in what I'm saying, not that I could have said X, or I should have said X, or I had to say X. Believe me on what I'm saying, because I could have kept my mouth shut. In the hierarchies of Migos, what do you think is a better Migo? What do you think is more convincing? Believe me to say A, Migo could have said B, or believe me to say A, because I could have kept my mouth shut. What's a much stronger Migo, much more convincing? Amigo the what? D-boy Shosik. When I have to respond with something, I got a fumfka, some kind of an answer. So, Gavalt, amigo, believe me, I could have said X because I could have said Y. I'm so tzaflagin. I don't know. I never limp of a bas. I don't know what I could say, should say. So, the whole amigo is not so strong. Amigos are very, very big chiddush. Believe me, I'm saying X, I could have said Y. But if amigo, I didn't say anything. Why did I open my mouth? If I wanted to be a liar, it would have been much easier to lie just to keep my mouth shut. So, for the fact that I'm opening my mouth and I'm saying something, I'm most probably telling the truth. Migo Dibay Shosik is a much greater Migo than just a plain and simple Migo. Comes the Rivam and says, that's the issue of Abbas Alamid Beis. The issue is not Migo Lahaytzi Lahamrinan, that everyone agrees Migo Lahaytzi Lahamrinan. But a Migo Dibay Shosik Kainamrinan. I feel Lahaytzi. A Migo Dibay Shosik Lahaytzi Kainamrinan. That's what the Gemara says. A Migo Dibay Shosik Lahaytzi Amrinan. What did Rav Yosef respond? According to what the Rivam just said, that this is not the sugya of Migdal Hotzei. According to the Rivam's understanding of the Gemara, everybody agrees the following principles are true. Everyone agrees Migdal Hotzei, and everybody agrees what Migo the E Boy Shosik Kein Amrina. Everyone agrees to that. So what's the machlokes, Rabbi and Rav Yosef? So Rav Yosef has a new issue that he's concerned with. Rav Yosef has another consideration, has another reason, there's another problem with this Migo. What's wrong with this Migo according to Rav Yosef? That the first thing you said, a shekev echazim. You're a chakra and you're coming to Beizim with a fourth star. What kind of Migo is this? Migo's for honest people. Migo's for people who we don't think are playing any games. What kind of a game are you playing here? You walk to Beizim with a fourth star. So Rav Yosef says that in and of itself undermines your whole Nemanus Amigo. That's an interesting issue that Rav Yosef has raised. It's an interesting objection. Rabbi obviously wasn't too concerned with it. And now Rabbi and Rav Yosef are fighting out, is that consideration important or not? So Amigo, which is hinging upon Sheker, is that a good Amigo or not? That's the Machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rabbi says, it's true that you don't seem like the most honest person, but push comes to shove, you have a Migo Diboy Shasik. And Rav Yosef says, no, if we saw through this, if it started out, the case started out as a lie, so Sheker in the Reglaim, the whole case falls by the wayside. That's an interesting machlokes, you could philosophize about it, not for now. But according to the Rivam, the one thing is crystal clear, what is not the issue of Abba Salam Abayz? The issue is not Migo Lahaisi. You know why that's not the issue of Abba Salam Abayz? Because everybody already learned from Metzia Dav Beis, which already told us that what? The Migo Lahaisi Lahaimrinim. So Rabbi say, now we have a major machlaikis Rishayim between the Rivom and Dav Beis and Baba Metzia against the Baliyat Tesis in Baba Basra. What is the issue in Baba Basra? Is the issue of Baba Basra Migo Lahaisi issue? That's the way Tosfos and Baba Basra learned. Rabbi says it is a Migo, Rabbi says it's not a Migo. The Gemara is passing that sometimes it's called Lohotzi, so it's not called Lohotzi, with a Marakama, with a Muksuf, with a this, with the walls on the side. Migo. So much Torah according to Tosfos and Baba Basra, because the whole issue in Baba Basra, according to Tosfos and Baba Basra, is Migo Lohotzi, Keda Mino Lohemrin. Again, we have no idea why or why not, but at least we know, we have identified what the issue is. According to Tosfos and Baba Basra, the issue is Migo Lohotzi, Amrinan aloy Amrinan. According to the Rivam, that is not even the issue in the sugya. That was already Nimnu v'gomer. Already paskin that up. Already in the Beis of Mitzia. The Migel Haitzi aloy Amrinan. But Baba Basra is working with a whole new set of rules. Baba Basra is working with, even though we know Migel Haitzi aloy Amrinan, everyone agrees that Migel Dibar Shasi Kain Amrinan. And I have Machlekes Rav and Rav Yosef about this new issue about the one of the clone of Migel. Yeah.
According to the Rivam, if it's about Migel,
oh, very good. Because Rav Yosef also doesn't disagree with that. What does Rav Yosef disagree with? Rav Yosef says when you have a funny kind of amigo which started out on a left foot, started out with a sheker of a shtamizuyah, Rav Yosef says that's not called amigo. Okay? That's a tangential problem of amigo. So according to the Tosis, according to the Rivam, when the Gemara comes to the conclusion, v'hilchasa karaba be'zuzi, v'hilchasa Rav Yosef be'zuzi, is that psak have anything to do with Migel Lahotzi? Absolutely not. What does it have to do with? It has to do with this third principle. That's the Machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef about this kind of funny shot about Migo. So why should there be some kind of an arbitrary difference between Karka versus Uzi? Very strange, right? Very, very strange. That's what you have to learn about Baba Basra to figure out. That's the Rashbam. That's the Sveik of the Dina. We're not sure who's right. And the Psak is not per se a difference. It's just that sometimes it's called a suffix in one direction, sometimes it's called a suffix in another direction. Who remembers when we spoke about this? When we learned about Basra. Who remembers the famous Rashbam there? Famous Rashbam. Bavur Chazoka. Ashtan Hadin, remember that? Remember that? Right? When you have a Chazoka, a suffix and a Chazoka Mekar, right? Bavur Chazoka Ashtan Hadin. So I'll tell you, those who don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it, but you'll appreciate the good story anyway. So we spent 2 weeks about that cloud, that Rashbam. Is it Rashbam and Baba Basra and Beis? It's a very, very critical Rashbam about because Chazok is and Sveik is, etc. So if you may remember, those who really have a good memory from 3 years ago, so who remembers something was bothering me? And I was walking around asking all the Rosh Hashivas the question. Remember? Remember about the Baba Chazok, about Hachra? Remember? So it was the last time that I spoke to Avtzi Kushalevsky about this topic. I was over with Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. I spoke to him about this topic almost 30 years ago. I asked him a kasha about this Rashbam Baba Basra, 28 years, whatever, when I came back from Kimiyah, about 28 years ago. I asked him a kasha about this topic, about this Rashbam Baba Basra, because I happened to just bump into him. He was in Riverdale once, and I was learning the sugya, and I was bothered with this kasha. We had a long, long talk about it, and I still wasn't sure what he said. I still didn't understand the answer. So I saw him in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago. So I was very, very tempted to continue the conversation for 20 years ago, but I wasn't sure that he wanted to continue the conversation. Maybe if you didn't remember the conversation, I wanted to put him on the spot. But I was very, very tempted to continue that conversation. Anyway, but I didn't. So maybe in 20 years from now, next time, we'll figure it out. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, getting back to the story. No, Rabbi Yisrael, getting back to the Rivam and Taisim. So we have two radically different approaches in the Rishonim here. Two Taisim, Taisim Bava Metzia, Taisim Bava Basra. What is the issue of Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Beis? Does it bear any relevance to our sugya or not? According to the Rivam, it's a Dover Poshet Ad Ma'oid, Migel Eitzel Amrinan. According to Taisis in Bava Basra, it's a Machoikis in the Gemara. And according to, who remembers, Rabbeinu Peretz and others, and our sugya, it's quite possible that what? That everyone agrees Migel Eitzel Amrinan. It's not the sugya here, not the sugya there. We got the wrong sugyas in both places. So we still have a very, very up for grabs here. We're still not sure whether Migel Eitzel Amrinan, Migel Eitzel Amrinan. So we're just about ready for our next question. What's the next question? Who's going to lead us to our next question? What's the next question? So we identified the sugya that may or may not be relevant. And what should be our next question? We should ask ourselves why. Why should Migel Eitzel Amrinan and why should Migel Eitzel Amrinan? But we're not going to ask that question yet because we've only identified one of the sugyas. We haven't identified the other two sugyas. So we still have a little bit more work to do on identifying other sugyas in Shas that shed some light on Migel Eitzel before we get to the why. So where do we go? So we finished Bava Metzia, we finished Bava Basra, where are we going to go? No, not does not everybody agree to it. His own brother didn't agree with it. Okay, the Kuntis HaSfeikis disagreed with the Sheish Ma'atzeh. That's what they used to fight about, the Shabbos tables. Like you and your, right? That's what you fight with your brothers with? Okay, that's what we talk about in my family also. They fight about every week, about whether the Chazaka Mekar is based on the Kehalavai, we should be Zaycha. But that was a hot topic in the what was the last name? Shmaisa? I don't know. Hachoshim, whatever the last name was. Heller, right? Was the last name Heller? Heller, okay. Good. That's what they used to fight about as teenagers. Okay. Rabbeisai. What other Gemaras that can shed some light on this topic? Come on. Gotta wake the guys up. Let's go. Come on. What else? So we gotta go back on that Shas trip again, okay? We bumped into the Ksubas on the way. We have to get off there, okay? So we have two Sugas in Ksubas. It may shed some light on it. When was the last time Yeshiva learned Ksubas? It's been a while. 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago. Okay. Time for Ksubas again soon. So comes the Mishnah in Ksubas and says something which may have something to do with this topic of Migel Eitzel. So we have to take a step back and understand what the Mishnah says. So you have two people who are fighting it out. It's a very sad, very tragic. Fighting is always a bad thing, especially when it's between a husband and wife, especially when it's between a young chassan and they just got married. Okay, it's the day after the wedding, and they're already fighting over something. What are they fighting about? He walks to the basin and he says, "You weren't a basula. You weren't a basula, you tricked me. I don't want to pay 200 zuz." It says in the ksuba, "Kesef zuzei moson, the chazilech with the raisa," right? "Bisulaychi, vesipukaychi, levayis kilkaranagom," right? "Bisulaychi, you're not a basula, I'm not paying you 200 zuz." And she says, "I'm not arguing that I'm not a basula. Let me tell you what happened." She says, "Misha erastani ne'enasti." So after you were mekadesh me 6 months ago, I was nebuch. I was raped ne'enasti. Now I'm muteris to you. You're not a kohen. It's not a shailah. It's a head to find. I'm muteris to you, but not my fault. This tachva sadeu. Your field flooded over. That means I belong to you already. You already mekadesh me. I wasn't a mekachtos. If I would have lied to you before we got married and told you I was a basula, it's not a mekachtos. But I told you the truth. You mekadesh me, and then it's tach v'sadeu. You owe me 200 zuz. So this is the day of the honeymoon. This is the big fight. Okay, he's tight. They're ready. The marriage is not going anywhere. Okay, they're already separating. He wants to not pay the ksuba. She's insisting on the ksuba. So what do you do? So what do you do? How do you pass the netshala? So come to tanoim haramachloikis. What do you do? So we paskin, but we paskin. What? Who wins the din Torah? Strangely enough, she wins the din Torah, and she's going to walk away with the 200 zuz. She has nemonus. Why does she have nemonus? So comes the Gemara, whole sugi in the first paragraph of Ksubas, but at least one of the things that emanates from that sugi is she has nemonus. Why? Because she has a what? A magic word. The magic word is 3-letter word, migo. She has a migo. When she advanced the taina, her response by saying that Misha erastani ne'enasti v'nistach v'sadehu, she could have said something else. Nobody would have ever known the difference. She could have said something just as simple without such negative overtones that she was raped, she's nensastach. She's asur l'kayin now if she wants to marry a kayin. Disaster. to say Nasti is an Eishes Ish, that's not a very pretty time to say. What could she have simply said? I went skiing. I went horseback riding. I got injured in that area, broke my basulim. It has the same effect. It looks like I'm not a basula anymore, but you're right, physically I'm not a basula, but lemaisa, I never had beat with anybody, not berotza, not beoynes, and I'm still entitled to my 200 zuz. So she could have responded just as well to say, and it would have been a prettier tiny, it would have been a less damaging tiny to her long-standing marriage possibilities in the future. And she chose to say something which is a very, very negative taina about herself. Comes the Gemara and says, Migo. She's believed with a Migo to say, Misher Astani Denasti, Migo she could have said, because it's Nitachtecha. What do you think about that Migo? She's going to take that Migo and go where? Go to the bank and collect 200 zuz with that Migo. Frektai Zakasha, Stacha Migo Lahaitzi. She's using a Migo to collect money. It's a Migo Lahaitzi. That's Gemara number one, Mishnah number one, Maseches Ksubos. Sounds not very good for the Rivam. Sounds like Migel Hoitzi Kein Amrina. Number two, a complicated story, hunger, killer. I have a shtar that says you owe me $100. You come to pay back the money. What's supposed to happen? You give me the $100, I'm supposed to give you back the shtar. So you gave me the $100, and what do? I say, thank you very much for the $100, I'm not giving you back the shtar. You know why? Because you owe me another $100. For some other loan, middle of Dalpeh from 6 months ago, I'm never going to collect. I'm going to hold on to that $100 you paid me. It's going to be connected to that other loan, and I'm going to take you to a Din Torah with the Shtar. So that's what happens. We now come to a Din Torah. So you come and you say, I paid you back the $100. I don't want to pay you again. And what do I respond? I say, you're right. You paid me back the $100. I'm mighty you paid me back the $100. I admit you paid me back the connected what it says in the Shtar. But I have another loan against you. What do we call that? Sitroi. That's the Aramaic word for the other loan from the side. Sitra. Sitra Acher, right? That's Sitra Acher. It's the Sad Acher. It's a loan on the side. So comes the Gemara and says, Who's believed? The Malva. The Baal HaShtar is believed. Why? Why is he believed? Because Migo, I could have said, what? You never paid me back. I have a shtar. If I have a shtar in my hand, I'm believed to say that you never paid me back. Shtar could be under my boy. If you really paid me back, you should have insisted on getting the shtar back. So the fact that I'm holding on to the shtar, I could have denied the whole story. I could have said, you never paid me in the first place. So if I would have said, you never paid me, that would have been a straightforward time. I would have collected the $100. I don't say that. I say you did pay me, but I had another loan. I'm like, you know, the whole story was Citra. Ah, Citroi. So that's a cockeyed story. That's amigo. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's amigo, but it works. So the Malv is Nemon to say, Sitroi, b'migo d'lohayu d'var me'olim, that the guy never paid him in the first place. The Gemara says, you're right. The Malv wins the Din Torah. So Frek Tais says, wait a second. How could the Malv win the Din Torah? With amigo? It's a chamigo l'haitzi. He's using amigo to collect $100 from Zabi. He can't do that. So comes Taisus and says there are two Gemaras, a Mishnah and a Gemara in Ksubas, that are staring us in the face, that are contradicting everything we've said up until now. The Rivam told us that Migel Haitzi Le'ar Mina and everybody agrees to. And even Taisus and Baba Basar, who said that, well, not everyone agrees to, but Lamaisa comes out according to Taisus and Baba Basar, Migel Haitzi Le'ar Mina. When it's real Haitzi Zuzei, these are whole vows. To take money away from somebody is a Migel Le'Haitzi. If Migel Haitzi Le'ar Mina, what's going on in Ksubis and the Mishnah, what's going on in the Sitroi case, what's flying? How could we say Migel Haitzi Le'ar Mina and yet we have two Gemara in Ksubis that contradict it? So we got to go back to the drawing board, everybody say. We have to understand the aside of those two Gemaras. What is unique about those two Gemaras? Why do those two Gemaras not fly in the face of everything we've been talking about up to now? So everybody say, what do we have? To sum up. So we have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, you divide it up 3/4 and a quarter. I, Frek the Kasha, the Rishonim, what happened to Migo? Ever the Rivam, Migo Leitzel Amrina. Other Rishonim give other Terutzim. Maybe they disagree with Migo Leitzel Amrina. Maybe they disagree this is not called Lehoitzi. Unclear. We searched the Baba Basra, we dug up a Gemara in Baba Basra, that at least the way Tais and Baba Basra learned, that was Gufa the Nakudas and Machlaikas. We gave a little razzle dazzle shtickle Torah with Cheskes Marakama versus Muchsach, a very nice little side point over there. But the aside of the point of Tais was that was Gufa the Machlaikas, Rabbi and Rav Yosef. comes to Rivam and says that was not the Machlokes Rav and Rav Yosef. Everybody agrees. Rivam showed you that this is a different kind of amigo, it's a different Machlokes, a different issue, whole different story. But Bein Lefer Rivam, Bein Lefer Tazim Avas, so the Maskana said, Dvarim is, Lamais, Amigal Haitz Alamrinan, whether everyone agrees on everyone, or it's a Machlokes, the bottom line is, Hilchas Amigal Haitz Alamrinan. Oba Zoy, the Amigal Haitz Alamrinan, what do you do with those two Gemara's in Ksuvim? So, for Mitzvah tomorrow, gotta stay tuned. Yeah.
Isn't that case also similar to the
Tanner Shon
Sheker?
Because
that
Shtar
was not really for that claim. They just claim it
from the guy. Well, it's not exactly the same. It's not a Shtar Mizuyev.
Right.
It's not a Shtar Mizuyev. Okay, we have to talk about what the problem with that Sugya is. Why that Sugya is the exception to the rule. Please mention it.